I've already given you levels. I already said Bing Bang Bong, which is the thing I say when I test the mic.
Hello and welcome to the internet's premier funny podcast. It's Free to a Good Home. My name is Michael Ling. Joining me, as always, is a man who recently had to go and rescue his wife and son from a rain-filled supermarket. It's Ben Jenkins.
Hello, Michael.
This is a very special episode of the podcast because we are broadcasting from a veritable mansion.
Possibly the nicest. Well, we really liked Taunton's house. Taunton's house, we spent a lot of time talking on that episode about how much we liked his house. That house is a shit hovel compared to Taunton. You live in a tent.
You live in a fucking tent. This house, let's just give it's got wallpaper, number one, which is a rarity.
It's a rarity. It's a rarity. Beautiful wallpaper with an iguana on it, I think.
I think I would say it is French influenced.
Should we bring our guest in so he can speak to the decor?
We can. You would know him as the musician that Plinky Plonks behind us at Dragon Friends. He's never been on this show before, I think.
But he's also like, he does a lot of other stuff. Yes. He's in a real band.
Yeah. Do you know the name of the band?
It's Lulu Ray's.
Yes. It is Tom Carty. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how's it going?
Do you know that I almost turned up in a Lulu Ray's t-shirt?
Really?
Because it was just in my rotation.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what's a clean t-shirt that I have? And I put it on. And then I like changed because turning up to your house in a little, I just think that would have been a bit much.
No, I was actually about to wear one myself. I thought that would have been weird, but then I realized no one could see because this is a podcast, so it doesn't matter.
It's Tom Carty.
Yeah, I said Tom Carty.
Did you?
Yes.
By the way, there's silver wallpaper up the stairs immediately. It looks like a spaceship. You guys aren't allowed up there.
Yeah, it's like this house was decked out because I know some of the stuff is yours and some of the stuff was pre-Tom.
PT.
The owners who you're renting it from. It feels like it was decked out by, I would say, a kooky, artsy couple. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm seeing like resin jewelry in this couple's life.
Yes, yes.
Do you want to have a guess what things were here before we got here?
I'm going to guess most of the art on the wall.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all Tom, baby.
That's the kooky Tom stuff.
I'm going to guess the French words. This house is this house is so fancy that it's got French written on the wall.
Yeah. You lived in France for a bit. Can you decipher
no,
that?
No, I don't speak a word of French.
But how long did you live in France for?
Anya was there for a long time. I was there for a bit over a month.
Oh, I thought you were there for like a year.
No, Anya was.
Ben was in France for a year,
You
right?
were there for at least 3 years.
Guys, I'm telling you.
You are French. You were born
in Paris for like a year.
I didn't, you
Because remember, we didn't. That's why Eden started doing Dragon Friends, because you were in Paris for like a year.
I was in New York for that time.
What the oh, man.
Well, I mean, you were in France for a while. It is common knowledge that they have their writing on walls.
Okay, so that says, Met toi ici en plein. Do you know what it says? You looked it up?
It says, boy, oh boy, this wall. It's actually a haiku, so...
I was going to say something.
Yeah,
I was going to
accusing me of being French.
I was going to ask Tom
French.
About something.
Go on. I'm
what was I going to ask Tom about?
We're sitting at a beautiful like table that is like steel. I want to say it's like a.
Now, was this yours?
This was here, and also these tiny little chairs. Because one thing
beautiful
I have
a leather chair.
They are nice, but I have a bit of an issue because they only go halfway up my back.
But you're very tall, so that's your issue, Tom.
Well, thanks. That's fine. That was a bit of a compliment, I suppose. All right.
And the house smells gorgeous because you're burning a Just Stick.
Yeah, I'm pretty fancy.
I'm going to say this is the nicest smelling record that we've done.
Yeah.
There was a time when we did it at mine, and Anya and Mo were making banana muffins, and like toward the end of the podcast, it smelled quite nice, but. You know, for the rest of it, stink town.
If we're talking about how badly everything stinks and, you know, like this is the nicest place you've been, I want to draw everyone's attention. Why is your Zoom recorder so fucking sticky?
So
thought we'd covered this before.
To peer behind the curtain, we record this on a portable handheld recorder with microphones that get plugged into it. And it's called a Zoom recorder.
It's called a Zoom H6. Yeah, I think there's a new model out.
A classic podcast piece of equipment.
And a beautiful piece of equipment. A great high tech, deserves respect, certainly, from anyone using
somehow,
it.
Somehow.
Possibly about $700 when I bought it.
Yeah.
Somehow Ben has made the Zoom recorder sticky.
It is an incredibly sticky piece of equipment.
What have you done to it?
I have no idea.
Did you dip it in honey?
We've confirmed that it doesn't it doesn't smell like cum. Like, it's something that we sort of did.
It wasn't the thing that I thought was like, better make sure it's not cum.
Well, you sniffed it and you said, that's fine.
Yeah, so because everyone knows, I want to be gross, but cum, when it, you know, dries up, becomes hard, doesn't become sticky.
Sure. Well, this is it's not, it's a combination. It's a combination of two things. It's sticky, and it's also because I think it's been sitting in a cupboard next to like a woolly jumper. Mm-hmm. It's quite hairy as well.
And yeah. Furry, which is disgusting. I've done a quick Google search here, and I found the website gearsluts.com.
Oh. It's actually, no, it's actually a really informative site. Yeah, I'm not even making a joke now.
Yeah,
it's one of the better
ones. Yeah, it's Sluts with a Z. This is like an audio. It's an audio file forum.
I can say audio file in the same sentence as gear sluts. Yeah. But.
And this is the topic. My Zoom H6, is that what you've got here?
We've got an H6 here.
My Zoom H6 has gotten sticky.
Here we go!
Is there a solution?
That's just Ben writing about
it. Posted by one B. Jenkins. No. Hi there. Very unfortunately, my Zoom H6 has gotten sticky. Zoom unofficially has suggested alcohol. It didn't work. I don't know. You meant to drink it or you meant to
eat it? What do you mean unofficially?
I have no
someone
idea.
Someone's like, just dude, just no put idea. Vodka.
You cannot say that this came from Zoom.
Yeah.
So people in the thing are saying, people are saying, yeah, they're having the same problem. This is actually quite a common problem, it says. And everyone is like, I don't know how it happened.
Really?
So everyone's like, I don't know why, but it's just gotten sticky with age. I reckon everyone is just eating candy and then touching the Zoom or something. It's just sticky fingers.
Huge spoofs.
Huge spoofs. One person suggests talcum powder would work, but I would worry that putting talcum powder in and around electronics could break them.
Yeah.
Do you think?
I think that if you put talcum powder over a sticky substance, you're like schnitzeling it. You just want to put like...
We don't have to egg it and fry it as well.
I feel so vindicated. because the really embarrassing thing about this is the reason that this Zoom is actually at this house, because I turned up and the Zoom was here, was because I lent it to another member of this household because she had to record a podcast. And when I handed it to her, I said, and this is like what you don't want to do when you were... And I was in quite a hurry. I had to just drop it off and go. Yeah. And I was like, it's sticky. I don't know why. Goodbye.
A lot of people are just saying alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. And then all of people replying saying alcohol doesn't work. And then people saying you need stronger alcohol. This goes on for 40 posts.
It's tearing the forums apart.
And unofficial as well.
Yeah. So this post started in 2017, right? Okay. We're now in October of 2019.
Wow.
And someone has posted, I also have this problem. Tried it with Brasso. No, hang on. Where is it?
Oh, Brasso. I have Brasso at home.
Okay.
A lot of people are saying talcum powder. But this is the one I want
to
read. We're now in...
To me, the issue we're talking about, aside from, as Tom says, schnitzeling the Zoom.
Yes.
Is it feels like that's a very short-term solution that I'll have to keep doing it.
Yeah, well, you got to do it every time you use it. Talk the Zoom, baby.
Like you're going rock climbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a little chalk
of the Zoom.
A little chalk pouch.
That's my podcasting chalk pouch.
Yeah. You can talk about it as much as people who climb as well.
Ben, I want to pitch this to you. This was posted in 2019. So this is like years after the fact someone's come back to try to give this. This is what they did. Okay. And I want to see, do you think you could also do this? Hello there. I have used a very sharp blade.
Oh, yeah.
To carefully shave the top layer of plastic or rubber.
Uh-huh.
Is like glue.
Yeah.
Keep cleaning the blade and the H4N will feel like new.
So I'm whittling my Zoom.
You've got to whittle it down. Yeah. Either talc it or whittle it. Those are the options.
You can schnitzel your Zoom or you can whittle it down into like a nice wooden horse.
Can you imagine getting to a point where you're like, I got to sit here with a knife and cut something because I don't like it that much? Like, this is the only way. There's nothing I can put on this.
It is like so... It's like, you know, you hear stories about like... you know those like towns in America where like a mine underneath the town has gone up? And so there's like fire under the town.
Oh, like an eternal fire burning beneath the ground.
And
yeah,
like,
or a gas
like they literally,
pocket or whatever.
They literally cannot extinguish this fire. Yeah, that's what they can do. And whenever like I hear a story like that, I'm like, that is so interesting because like we're so used to just everything having a solution.
Mm.
And like to me, that something can get sticky in a way that you can't fix is wild.
Yeah, this
in
is
the
year
2021.
This is your coal mine hellmouth.
This is my
This is your eternal fire.
This is my Gordian knot. Like the Gordian knot, they just say, "I'll cut it."
Before we get to the classifieds today, I did want to give a quick plug to our Melbourne show, which is going to be happening on the 27th of March at the European Beer Cafe. It's at 5 p.m. that day, so you can go, come along, meet the podcast that you love, and then go off and do the rest of your life.
I really have to emphasize, come along, don't talk to me. Really, like that's a big one. Tom, will you be there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Tom will be there for Dragon
Friends. Can't put him on Dragon the spot Friends. Here because he might have other things to do.
No, I'm coming next weekend. You mean you got? Oh, you're. I sometimes forget which show I'm doing a podcast for when I'm doing a small Dragon Friends.
Yes. So this is after our Dragon Friends show. We're going to go down the road to European Beer Cafe, but we've already sold like I think like 100 tickets
so this
now.
Is the
so
wild thing. I don't understand how this happened.
What do you mean?
It sounds like a humble brag, and in many ways, Tom, it is. Mm. But Hing, because he's Hing,
what
made the event? Thank you very much. Very, very grateful for you doing all that.
Thank you.
And then just didn't put any way that people could buy tickets on the Facebook event.
Oh, that's very.
And I noticed that the other day, and I was like, "Hey, dude, can we fix this?" And he went, "Oh, let me just. Oh, god, that's bad. Let me just check how many tickets we've sold." And we'd already sold 80 somehow.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, it's the power of being
our listeners are smart freaks.
Yeah, well, no, it's also the power of being the internet's premier funny podcast.
Yeah, that's true. So that'll be at 5 o'clock. It will not be in the Melbourne Comedy Festival guide, so no. Don't go looking for it.
Is that because Hing tried to put it in? But
it's
he
an
didn't
unofficial
manage.
Show. Yeah, the guide has banned us because of the hateful bottles.
It's an unofficial show. We have sold out of all these wretched bottles.
Mm, but we've got one box left, and we will exclusively be selling them at the Comedy Festival show. No, which is not part of the Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
At the European Beer Cafe show during the Comedy Festival, not part of the Comedy
Some
Festival.
Some people asked if they could buy them at the Dragon Friends show. It's an emphatic no.
Yeah,
no.
We've been told we're not allowed to sell at the Dragon Friends show anymore.
Really?
Alex Lee is quite rightly. She doesn't want to be in any venue shared by the bottles.
That's fair. That is fair.
But yeah, our guests for that show are going to be...
Oh, yeah, what a fucking lineup.
We're talking... classic friend of the show, sometimes host of the show, Michelle Brazier. She's going to be here.
Yeah.
We're talking a first-time guester, but has been on Dragon Friends before. You know from Auntie Donna. Broden Kelly's going to be there.
Kelly's going to be there.
And we're also talking about one of the absolute delights of Australian comedy, one of the all-time great storytellers, comedically.
Bono from U2.
It's Bono.
Bono from U2. It means beautiful voice.
No, Nikki Britton is going to be there.
Feet Bono.
Yes. Doing her classic Bono impression.
You guys want to hear a funny U2 story?
Always.
So one of my mates worked on The Edge's boat.
In what capacity?
I don't know. Just, you know, you got to have someone on your boat when you're the edge, and it's like, it's big. So, you don't know, you're like cleaning stuff
sure.
out.
Guitar tech,
sure
it works.
Yeah, guitar tech. You made sure the amps were C ready. he was there and he was doing stuff. I promise you, it sounds like it's made up. Mm-hmm. He came up and was like, "Oh, thanks very much. I don't know what The Edge's name. Let's say his name's Brian. It's not." He's like, "Oh, thanks, Brian. This is already." He goes, "Call me The Edge." And it was like, fuck yeah, cool.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Because like it's the definite article in front of the nickname that makes it really hard to tell to call
the
somebody
edge.
By that.
Yeah. If you just said, "Oh, my name's Edge."
Like there are, he's like Jay-Z's name isn't Jay-Z.
But yeah.
You'd call him Jay-Z probably.
Yeah. Or before you call him like the Brooklyn Slasher or something.
Slasher?
I don't know.
That's wild. How big do you think the Edge's boat is? And do you think he wants a bigger boat?
I think that the Edge...
Like, do you think the Edge wants for anything?
Yeah, he does.
What?
I think he wants people to call him the Edge.
Well, sorry. Emotionally, I think he probably wants for a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he demands that people
though.
Call him the Edge.
Yeah. Mm.
But, like, I think... Right, okay. Bono,
yeah.
the lead singer of U2 and guest on Freedom of Good Home on the 27th at the European Beer Cafe, I think that he probably, if he has a boat... It's probably the size that he wants.
Mm. Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't think he has boat envy.
What, do you think Bono's richer than the Edge?
What are you talking... Of course he's richer than the
I
Edge.
I think, yeah, definitely.
From what? They're in the same band. How can...
He's... What do you think that...
What do you think Bono's made all this money from his solo career? What do you mean?
This is a commune?
Do you think... What do you... I reckon the Edge has actually got... The Edge is actually more employable
don't
than Bono
you
when you think
say
about
that
it.
The Edge has
the Edge
more
is
money
so
than
much
Bono.
More...
Are you saying that the other guy has the same amount yeah. of money as Bono?
I'm saying that when you think about their capacity to do work, right?
Yeah.
If you put Bono on a thing, you actually don't want to pay Bono to be on your song. He only does Bono. All he does is sing. You're like, "Oh, that's fucking Bono. The song's all collab Bono. You actually want the Edge, right? So I think the Edge can do all this work as a studio musician. He can be a tour.
The Edge is not a session musician.
No, he can do one thing. He can play two notes with a lot of reverb.
He could be a touring guitarist. Like, do you know what I mean? The Edge could actually work, and like he's actually more employable than Bono.
The money that you make from being in U2 isn't from like salary, right? It's from like ownership.
Okay. Well, what do we think? Bono? Also, Bono's given all his money away to charity, isn't he?
Well, possibly that's okay. Possibly the Edge.
Do you reckon he's given his boat away as well?
What do you guys think Bono's net worth is?
Can I have a comparison? Like, what's like
the Edge's net worth?
What's the drummer from U2's net worth?
What's Beyonce's net worth?
Oh, Beyonce and Jay-Z are billionaires.
Sure.
But I imagine she'd be worth a lot more than Bono.
I want a comparison.
I reckon Bono.
Okay,
is
just so you know, I'm not going to tell you what Bono is. Yeah. Beyonce, according to Business Insider,
Yahoo Finance.
It's $400 million.
That's Beyonce.
That's Beyonce.
I was going to say that for Bono.
Nah, people aren't as rich as you think they are.
Really?
Yeah, no, they're not. I've checked. Like, Jerry Seinfeld is like, he's really rich, but like, how much money do you think Jerry Seinfeld
has? No, but comedy
has?
Rich is not rich. Yeah. Comedy rich is quite poor.
Yeah, but
really.
Jerry Seinfeld rich.
Yeah, but I mean,
is he worth like $400 million? Same as Beyonce?
I think he's worth. Actually, he's worth. This hasn't really worked because he's worth actually a lot more than that. So,
is Jerry Seinfeld a billionaire?
I think he's really fucking rich.
Okay, hang on.
Get back to that.
Stands for billionaire.
Okay. Look, hey, yeah. Look. Okay,
focus.
Beyonce, $400 million. I'll tell you what the Edge is worth, and then you have to tell me
what Bono's worth.
Okay.
This is a great game. And
okay.
Marvelous content, and I'm pretty sure no one's listening.
Okay. Beyonce, $400 million.
Okay.
The Edge. $400 million.
Oh,
okay.
Beyonce and the Edge
are the same level. Now
she has an empire.
Now you have to now think.
The Edge just does music. She does like a million other things.
You don't know that the Edge only does music. The Edge could have invested in Bitcoin. You don't know. You don't know. You just don't know. Now you've got to tell me, what do you think Bono's net worth is?
I'm thrown for a loop. Yeah. Do you reckon like? I mean, I guess we get different answers. Do we have to answer together?
You go first. And
I
then
think
I go.
That maybe what I'm taking from this pattern is that all famous people are worth
$400 million. Yeah, except for Jerry Seinfeld, which I'm going to drop on you in a second. But I'm reading not the game, I'm reading The Man, and Hing's far
man?
Too. You are the man for the first time in your life, Michael.
Oh, you're reading The Man. Yeah. You think you're reading a book called The Man.
No, okay. So I'm reading The Man. It's a pretty riveting thing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you're pretty happy about this, so I'm guessing... It's not a lot more. Yeah, or some... Not. He can't be worth less. That's not right.
How would
he
get up in the morning? Knowing that he's worth less than the Edge.
He's giving it all to charity. You don't know.
Okay, I'm going to say $400 million.
Okay, you think Bono, the lead singer of U2, is worth the same as the Edge. That's what you think.
I'm
going to say
five. That's
what you're telling me.
I'm going to say 550.
Okay, just slightly more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to say four?
Yeah.
$700 million.
Whoa! Yeah, sick. Good. Well, right. That's good.
Fun game. Fun game, everyone.
Yeah, fun game. Well, this has been a good home.
The podcast has been going for 400 years, so let's get into the customer bites. Ben, do you have one you want to start us off with?
Sure. This one is sent in by Amber Bradshaw.
Thank you, Amber.
This is from Fort Worth. So, Texas?
I think so.
Yeah. North Fort Worth, if that helps anybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I want to hire a maid with a twist.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
I'm looking for a local house cleaner with a twist. 25 or older in brackets.
Okay.
Now, because of the way that they've structured that sentence, it probably means that the house cleaner needs to be 25 or older.
Yes.
But it could mean that the twist needs to be 25 or older. which Chubby Checker's the twist if definitely is. So I have hardwood and tile floors. Bathroom, kitchen, living room, and halls. Well, everyone has halls. What are you talking about? Like, how else are rooms joined?
Yeah, well, the twist might be coming.
Don't boast about your corridors, mate. Like, the thoroughfares. Unless you mean like you have like Toad Hall, like sort of like.
Toad Hall.
Oh, also I have Toad Hall, which will require some cleaning because a chaotic toad lives there.
Some pest control.
Please be honest and dependable. Send your experience, recent picture. Location, when you'll normally be available, and how you have a twist.
So wait, so you've got to name your own twist. You've got to pitch yourself. hi, I'm Michael. I'd love to clean your house. And my twist is, I'm bad at cleaning. Or my twist is, I'm a magical toad.
Oh my God. It's a superhero montage when they choose like the superheroes and they go through all the fun ones.
Compensation, we will discuss this.
Okay. First of all, this to me, and I know I'm very cynical about these things because we've done so many on the podcast. I reckon this is sexual.
Well, look, I mean, like initially I thought it probably was, right? But if you want to hire a maid that's going to also jerk you off, you can do that. Like,
you can, but this person's trying to be coy about it. The reason that makes me think this is sexual is they've said send a recent picture.
Yeah, and picture I have 25 or older. Yeah, those two things are.
I've never wanted to know what the person who would be cleaning anything. Like, I don't need to know what they look like.
I want to know that they're not covered in slime.
Well,
if they were covered in slime, it's like they clean one room.
But
so no slug. Sort of.
Yeah.
So no one has won a Nickelodeon contest?
Well, no one who's won a Nickelodeon contest immediately prior to cleaning my house.
Sorry, I'm late, boss.
I can see.
I was just at amazing. And unfortunately, I was just at
the kids' choice. I know. I can see you're and, covered in slime.
Yeah, and it's because I won.
Well, yeah, you won Best Kiss, and now there's and slime now late, all over my halls.
This is great.
So thanks.
You're going to have to explain this to Mr.
Ashton
Toad.
Ashton Kutcher.
Really interesting that you're averse to slime when you love such a sticky Zoom, Ben.
What would your twist be, Tom, if you're pitching yourself as a cleaner?
Oh man,
and it can't be I'll suck you off. It can't be
I'll suck you off or I'm covered in slime. I think that my thought immediately is I do like a little dance as I'm cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing
fun.
Lots of dancing.
Yeah.
It seems pretty boring and anyone can sort of do it. I'm a pretty good juggler. I went through like a juggling and magic phase. Mm-hmm. And I know you couldn't.
Brother! Yeah. That's really upsetting to me that hasn't haunted you in the way that it's haunted me.
Because
Tom's quite a cool guy who plays in a rock band, has an earring.
Yeah.
And like when people hear that about him, they go, oh, whoa, that's kind of weird. Like,
you agree with that.
Fun.
You moved on from that.
Yeah. But when people learn that I was into magic and juggling, I get, that's about right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What was your magic phase like, Tom? How long were you in magic for?
A few years. I used to do it like so much that I did magic on the bus. To the girls.
Sorry. I was into magic so much, I did it on the bus.
I have halls. I do magic in the halls.
What do you mean you did it on the bus?
I did it on the bus in the mornings for to school and stuff. I got a nickname. It's good because the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do it for some of the ladies.
What was your nickname?
They called me Magical Red Nut because I had red hair.
Magical Red Nut.
Yeah, it wasn't subtle. There's something really like Red Nut. It's just. It's like a plosive sort of like it hurts
sounds like
a bit.
A slur.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's
magical
fine.
Magical Red Nut has a kind of like snuggle pot side adventure feel to it.
Leave the door open because the magical Red Nut will come in.
What kinds of tricks are you doing? We're doing close hand card stuff.
No, he's making the Statue of Liberty disappear. Close up.
I don't know a lot about magic because I'm not into it. But
I did a few like card stuff. Cards, I did some coin stuff. Yeah. Some hand stuff. I was doing hand stuff.
Hand stuff?
You know, just jerking off and stuff.
On the bus.
Jerking off on the bus. Oh, that guy was doing magic.
So, did you also do magic on the bus, Ben?
Yeah.
What? Bus magic.
Sorry?
You do bus magic.
Yeah, it's a great place to do magic.
Yeah.
What, were you doing the same kind of coin stuff?
I was doing card stuff. Mainly.
Right. And how old were you when you were doing this, Tom?
Oh, man. I always say the wrong thing, and then my friend's like, no, way older.
You were 20, man.
It was last week.
Was it? After, do you remember doing magic on the? Were you into magic after high school?
No, I still do a few things because it became kind of cool again after. Not super cool. But it was like, oh, some people be like, oh, magic's fucking sick, and you're like, no, it's not. I was bullied for fucking five years, probably like year eight and potentially year nine.
I reckon I stopped around year nine.
Okay. But I've seen you do like Ben will occasionally at a party. Not hold court and do a trick, but just be like, hey, this is a cool thing I can do.
Yep.
And we'll like, you know, what do you fold cards?
Sure.
Is that what you do?
Yeah. One-handed cut? Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that kind of thing. Have you ever, when was the last time you did a trick publicly, Tom?
Publicly? I sometimes teach musical instruments and I often do them for the children. Also, when I teach drama, there's one kid.
Okay,
I won't name him, but he sucks ass. He sucks fucking ass. And like we were told by the teachers, like, this just I'm sorry about this kid. He did actually end up leaving the program. But the only way I could make him stop smashing his head against the wall was if I did a magic trick to him. And he was like, give me the coin. And I was like, no, I'll do it again later. and he shut up for a while. But yeah, magic soothes.
Okay.
Magic soothes problem children.
Yeah. So have you done magic to adults in any recent times? At a party or anything?
I do it, but I do it kind of like, oh, this is kind of shit because I'm not confident in myself.
And then, bam, you crush it?
Sometimes I crush it. Sometimes.
Me and Dave got back at one. I don't know if Dave ever went through a childhood phase, but when we went to LA and went to the Magician's Castle, Dave and I spent, and I just had Mo was like maybe 8 months old,
yeah,
and so I had a lot of like just time just sitting with a baby, and so I got really back into cards.
Just it's not the usual, like whenever you hear about a new parent talk about their first 6 months as a parent,
yeah,
it's never like, yeah, it's always things like, I haven't been sleeping but it's been so good because it's really put in perspective, yeah, like the love I can feel in my life, yeah, and then for you it's like, yeah, it was really good to have a child because I just found more time to get in touch with my cards. My non-human cards.
I still have like maybe like 10 packs of like those nice bicycle cards that I bought when, like, I think I had like 2 hours sleep and I was like, I'm gonna need more cards.
Yeah.
I went and just bought this, like, yeah.
Is that because part of them being a magician is when you,
well, first of all, there's a code.
But when you do a trick, oh, not all the time, but I've seen this, part of doing a trick is handing the person who you're about to trick a new pack of cards and being like, please open
That's
this.
Certainly some of them you can
and
How many packs of cards did you say you had?
10.
Do you ever have a buy gaff deck?
What's a gaff deck?
So it's like when you're cheeky, you get like, you know how when you see people do magic tricks, it's like, oh, and wait a second, this king is holding a card in like the little card. Sure. It's an entire deck of like fake cards that you
wacky
slip in.
Wacky cards.
Yeah, wacky cards.
And then they've got the bicycle backing, obviously.
Yeah.
That's useful. That's one of the clever things that Bicycle did, where they also released like professional standard magician decks. So, you know what I mean? Like, so you can slip them into normal looking.
It's all part of the code. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I understand.
All right, have either of you made the Statue of Liberty disappear?
No.
I made the foot disappear once.
No, you.
But that's only because
I don't give a shit then. All I care about is the Statue of Liberty.
Do you know what my twist would be? I think?
What would be your twist if you pitched yourself as a cleaner?
I think I'd be like, I'm a cleaner who solves mysteries.
I would not hire you.
Why?
Because
you got
secrets.
So many.
Yeah. Because I don't want someone cleaning my house and then being able to work out who I am, being able to profile me.
No, do you know what my twist would be? I'd be like, I'll clean your house normally, but do you know what my other job is? I'm a trauma cleaner.
Oh, so they're like, so they would think that you're really clean, like you're really good.
I'm really good.
Yeah.
Like I don't need to get, you know, like there's people who come to crime scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And like, clean like blood and brains.
Have I talked about this on the podcast before? I stayed with one of those guys once.
What? No.
When I was a much younger comedian, I was in Brisbane for the Brisbane Comedy Festival, and a company who were producing me at that time, who have since dropped me, they booked some accommodation for us. And the accommodation they booked was just in an Airbnb. This is years ago when Airbnb just started. And the guy, it was when Airbnb was a lot more like part of the whole like live in my home kind of vibe, rather than just get an apartment.
Yeah.
And the guy picked us up from the airport. That was part of the thing as well. It's like, I'll come to the airport and pick you up. And he had this big van. We're like, this is great. And as we were driving, I just was sitting in the front making conversation with him. I was like, oh, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I clean up crime scenes. And I was like, oh.
Because that could also mean that he's like a fixer.
No.
You know what I mean? Like he's like a Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
like,
he's, I dispose of bodies. Yeah. So he was the guy who was hired by the cops to go around and like, you know, after something bad happened, he'd clean it up. And then we got to his house and it was disgusting. And obviously, you know, busman's holiday, you know.
That's the thing. He does enough cleaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So his house was filthy.
Just bodies.
Yeah.
There was like,
who do you think I put him?
I remember, I have a very visceral memory of stepping into the shower. And as I stepped into the shower, there was like a scum on the shower floor that when I washed my hair, it began to dissipate.
Would it have had the consistency of, say, the underside of a Zoom H6?
it was sort of a red blood kind of color. No, yeah, anyway, he was gross. But yeah, that was...
I think that would be my twist, though, because I think that... Because if I hired someone who was a trauma cleaner to tidy my house, A, as you say, this is a walk in the fucking park for them.
Yeah,
like,
easy.
They'd be very thorough. But also, I'd be like, this is nice for them.
Oh, yeah, you're giving them some easy work.
Giving them some easy work.
They could do this in their sleep.
Yeah.
For me, my twist, I cannot absorb information.
Okay.
That sounds like a lot of cleaners. You know what I'm talking about?
That's just, they will talk. I'd come in and be like, my twist is I have never learnt a single thing and I don't Like, so I wouldn't pick up any of their secrets, you know?
What if I was like, oh, hey, man, could you show you us the, like, the blinds?
What's a blind? Exactly. See, and that's how...
That's the problem.
No.
That's why you don't have the job.
Oh. Yeah.
This seems very, like, relevant to you. I feel like you do not want a cleaner to know anything when they come into your house.
All right, can I share one with you guys?
Yeah.
This was taken from Facebook Marketplace.
In Australia?
I think it is in America, but it's been blacked out. It's in Virginia in America.
Ah,
it's in the for sale in
Country
Virginia.
Country road, take me home. You know?
I think that's West Virginia, actually.
Sure.
buy, sell, trade wanted. And what I'm looking at here is a sign. It's sort of a sign you might put up in your man cave, Ben or Tom. It's sort of it's kind of like the Cheers logo.
Do you think my child's bedroom is my man cave?
No, that's your child's cave.
Yeah.
child's cave. Yeah, little... I don't want to call it.
Oh, no, let's call it something better. Maybe a little boy cave.
So this is kind of like the Cheers logo or the Coca-Cola logo, that kind of
it
font of writing.
Like somebody's started doing a Cheers reference and then realized that that's not quite the right reference.
Yeah. So basically, it's a
nice
sign,
wooden sign,
and it just says cocaine, and then underneath it, the word cocaine in like a cursive font, it says rich man's aspirin. Cocaine, the rich man's aspirin.
It's good for a chuckle. I mean,
it's a hilarious sign that you could put up in your man cave, right? So this. Sure. Said, and this ad reads as follows: I no longer need this because I no longer like cocaine. Perfect for the everyday drug user, a little bit beat up and dirty, so but so is the everyday drug user.
All right.
Wow. Judgy.
You're pretty fucking judgy for someone who liked coke so much you got an old time.
Yeah,
like... $10, come get it. Now, are either of you looking to outfit your Moe's bedroom with this, Ben, perhaps?
Moe's bedroom with a sign that says cocaine, the rich man's aspirin?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a picture of a little otter, so probably not. I'll probably just keep with a baby animal sort of motif.
Do you have a need for this in your studio?
You got a lovely new house. You got a lovely new
I
studio.
I do. Yeah, my little room as well has a loft bed, so I feel like that's very man cave.
You're a rock star musician, so people probably expect this of you.
The cocaine-y bits. I don't actually take that many hard drugs.
Sure, but I mean that's the beauty of this sign.
Yeah.
If you don't like taking hard drugs, but you want that kind of reputation, someone
takes
hard
drugs. You want to be known as a bad boy, the bad boy of musical comedy.
I reckon if somebody I knew who had like a cocaine problem, and there are a few people who we know.
Sure, we can name names.
Who are too into the rich man's aspirin, you'd say. If I went to their house and they had that sign, I would not find that amusing.
No, it's not very sad.
I find it sad.
It's very sad.
But like,
if I had it, though.
If you had it, again, because you live with your parents.
Like, Mom, Dad, look at this sign I brought home.
It's pretty neat, isn't it?
And the thing that I take a little bit, I think it's a bit strange, is no longer need because I no longer like cocaine. I feel like this guy's given up cocaine, guy or girl, and then been like, I got to get rid of that sign.
Yeah.
This is reminding me.
This is reminding me that cocaine's quite nice.
And it's the rich man's aspirin.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Cocaine's funny. You come up with funny stuff like that on the fly, let me tell
you. Can you imagine if we lived in a world, if you were so rich that you're like, I've got a bit of a headache. I'll do a line of coke. That's crazy. Yeah. That is crazy talk.
I feel like, and I'm probably almost definitely wrong about this, but when I imagine like the 20s, that's kind of what I think.
Definitely. Old aspirin used to have cocaine or something.
Yeah.
Or
like, Coca-Cola had cocaine in it.
That's
like
true.
Legitimately for a while.
Yeah.
I was going to ask about man caves in general.
Yeah.
What
do you need to know, Michael?
There is a burger store that I walk past sometimes on King Street in Newtown. Mm-hmm. And it's called like Big Bob's Big Burgers or something.
Not
or
called that.
Big Boy's.
Nothing is called that.
It's called like the Big Boy Burger
it's
Barn.
It's not called that. I think you're thinking of maybe Big Daddy's.
Big Daddy's Burgers.
Yeah, Big Baby Burger Bar.
Yeah.
And there's a big guy, his name's Bobby, and he wears a nappy behind the counter.
He's cheeseburger.
But the...
And you go goo goo gaga, and then goo goo gaga gaga if you want fries. It's a horrible one.
Yeah, it sucks. Stickiest burgers in all of Newtown.
So this big man's burgers bun.
I'm just imagining also like him like... waddling into the kitchen being like, yeah, I don't know how to cook.
Yeah.
I'm baby.
And then his wife's just like, Jesus Christ, Bob. Seriously. We have a
stove hot.
We've got a mortgage on this place.
When I walk past that place, The decor they've decided for the interior of it is like...
I have had a burger there.
Shitty man cave.
Mm.
Because I've seen some humorous signs they've put up in there.
Oh, like, shut the fuck up. You know those signs that are basically just like... You know, it's got a picture of like somebody from like the 60s and like smiling and it just says shut the fuck up.
It's one of the worst types of memes that exist, I believe.
It's like a pin-up doll from the 50s that's like, I fucked your dad or whatever.
It's real confronting messaging over like kind of like that kind of Roy Lichtenstein style art. Yeah. Fuck you!
I'd listened to a podcast about ventriloquists the other day, and it's the same thing of like, if it's not you saying it, if it's something like cute, then you can say whatever you want. So it's like, shut your fucking dumb face. It's like, oh no, but it's a 1950s pinup, so it's fine. A
picture of Winston Churchill saying it.
But it's Daddy's baby bar.
Baby burger bar.
Mm.
And it I always walk past it thinking like, who? Like, it seems incongruous to me that...
Why? It appeals to dudes and dudes rock. It's a dudes rock aesthetic.
Yeah.
I just was like, in Newtown, though, which is like a kind of a, you know, it's a...
Not anymore, man.
It's a communist paradise in Newtown. And everyone walking past it, I thought everyone walking past it would be like, oh, I don't want to eat there.
Have you not seen the rockabilly trends going around in Newtown, the inner west?
Rockabilly, to me, it is... And I've never understood it as an aesthetic.
I want to preference this with, at the risk of alienating 70 to 80% of our audience.
Do you have a huge rockabilly audience?
Yes, I wouldn't be so... There's an interesting Venn diagram going on between shithead podcasts fans.
Yes,
like, so fans of shithead podcasts.
Yes.
And rockabilly aesthetics. Yeah, I cool. feel.
Yes. Well, look, hey, if we had to do them in terms of like...
Do you know what I think? Uh-huh. I think you are still scarred from when we were in our early 20s and worked at a music venue together.
Mm.
And there was a rockabilly night like once a month and it was the worst night in the world.
Yes, yes. Well, it's people dancing, which obviously I hate. And they're sort of having fun and...
Which again, ugh.
Drinking, ugh. Yeah. And I guess the... The thing that, and this is not a serious thing, but the thing that always like, struck me about it is like it's a very white aesthetic to get involved with.
Very white aesthetic.
And I was always wondering.
From a very white racist time.
Well, that's the thing. I was like thinking, when I was like 22 and working there, I was like, why do only white, like, why don't Chinese people like this? Why doesn't anyone else like.
Chinese rockabilly.
Why? Well, why does no one else like rockabilly? And I was like, oh, it's because if you're not white and you imagine the 50s. It's fucked.
Yeah, not great. Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know how, like, Annabelle Crabb did that show, like, Back in Time for Dinner?
Yeah.
You can only really do that with, like, white families where you go back.
You can do a very confronting one.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You do it, and it's like, oh, our lives are actually, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, this is not.
Do you know what I just thought? I was thinking while you were talking about the claim that I made that a lot of our audience has a rockabilly aesthetic. And I just run the numbers in my head.
Mm-hmm. And you reckon.
I reckon that's complete bullshit.
It's a pretty long bow to draw. Yeah. I'm just wondering where you got any evidence for that.
Rockabilly is kind of a Gen X thing, I think.
Very Gen X. Yeah. Hugely Gen X.
Kind of a Gen X thing. And I would imagine that Gen X people would find our podcast baffling and annoying.
I want to tell you something, Gen X. If you are Generation X and listen to this, I'm going to tell you what I tell the English. Switch off and go listen to some fucking Radiohead. You know what I'm saying, guys?
There will be a point at this podcast where only four people are allowed to listen to it.
Yep.
Barack Obama. Actually, is he Gen X?
Ooh.
We'll see, baby boomer.
He loves rockabilly.
He's
I know that.
Probably Gen X, you know.
Unfortunately, Mr. Obama
and Beto O'Rourke. You better fucking believe you're not listening to this podcast, Beto O'Rourke. He's like the most Gen X person on the planet.
Yeah, but he did say fuck that one time. So,
he did. That's true.
On television.
It's like Batman in the Snyder Cut. Zack Snyder, Gen X, stay away.
Have you seen the Snyder Cut of Batman?
No, and we're not going to be a podcast that discusses it. I'm drawing a line in the sand.
All right, Tom, do you have a classified for us to take us home?
Yeah, okay. The headline reads, pay me to lose. Now, Peter Hope sent this in. Thank you very much, Pete.
Peter, I hope you had a great day. So there's a little personalized shout out.
Wow, pay me to lose? I feel like I've just lost then. pay me to lose, ! You're going to get $250. This is how much it's going to cost from Houston. Take me home.
And it's like a picture of like a, I guess like a muscle car or something.
Yeah, hood open, it's exposing its metallic innards. Mm-hmm. No license plate, bit cheeky.
No, Americans in some states you only need it on the back.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know, it's the fucking Wild West. Unless it's not that part of America.
Yeah, well, could be illegal.
Sure.
$250 gets you two races from a dig or a roll. Either one. I'll let you outrun me so that you can brag about how fast your baby is. For $25 extra, I'll talk shit with two eyes on video before our race.
What the fuck is this?
So it's about a, I think it's like drag racing or whatever.
Okay.
So it's like, if you pay me $250, I will throw the race that we have.
Okay.
At our car club or whatever.
Oh, by baby he means car.
Okay. Yeah, you're not riding your girlfriend baby.
I was thinking toddler. Mo's very zippy. He's very fast.
Could he outrun a car?
I mean, you could outrun this guy. Pay $250.
That's fair. You do brag about how fast your baby is as well. The end of this is $275 will get you the premium package. Video of race, me talking shit, two eyes again before the race, then admitting how fast your whip is after the race.
Okay. Okay. So I have a car, right?
Yeah. Or you've got a little shit box. What are you driving right now?
I'm driving a Mazda 3.
Okay. And then you're going to go up against...
I don't think that's a street racing car.
It's not. It's street legal though.
Yeah, it's street legal. And it's got a lovely, it's got Apple CarPlay. Is that something that these people care about?
Does your car have NOS? Do you have NOS on your Mazda 3?
It has a little baby seat. It's got a lot of sand in it presently. Is that quite. Like NOS?
It's not quite NOS. NOS is... nitrous oxide.
Sure.
You press it. I think you basically, my understanding from the Fast and Furious films is
nitrous oxide not Nangs?
It's I've heard that it is also Nangs, but
or maybe it's not. Maybe it's nitrous something else. But it's nitrous.
No, it is NOS. No, that's the fun joke. Is like, oh, do you want to do some NOS? What, you want to go drifting? No,
it's NOS. Wait. No, it's NOS.
Nosferatu. Do you think that's the Zuma? Because Zumas love NOS, don't they?
Yeah.
You're closer to Zuma than I am.
I don't. Which NOS are we talking about?
We're talking about the vampire.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So let's talk about that.
Zumas love. What about? You know how there was that remake of Dracula for the millennials.
Well, it's called Dracula, Dead and Loving It, starring Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, boy.
Probably around that time, actually, but it was called Dracula 2000.
And I do not remember this at all.
He was in a plane at one point.
Sure. So it was like for a new generation.
So Gen X was Interview with a Vampire with Brad Pitt.
We were probably Dracula, Dead and Loving It. And / Dracula 2000.
Sure.
/ probably Blade Trinity. What I'm saying is, like, is the new Zuma... Oh, fuck. We were Twilight.
Twilight's a little bit beneath us.
Sure.
A little bit younger than us.
I'd like to say it's beneath us. Probably not. I'm just saying Nosferatu.
Uh-huh.
And he's a vampire who likes names.
He's a vampire who likes names. I mean,
I want to suck your name.
Maybe. Is there something in this? He goes to open his mouth, and where his incisors and canines would be, previously known as fangs, he's just got two little bulbs.
Two little soda bulbs?
Yeah.
And does he have to go fill them up at like a station?
Yeah, he's got,
he's got his mouth
open. And he has to pretend he's like, I'm going to be baking a cake. And they're like, yeah, sure, champion. He's got a back cap and shit.
Nosferatu. Is that a silent film? I don't think I've seen it.
It's the original like vampire film, and he looks like that's the one where
Max Shrek. He's got like a
Shrek.
Yeah,
it's Shrek. It's Mike Myers doing a Scottish vampire.
The Nosferatu. Is it silent or is it
silent? It's I think it's Fritz Lang.
Right. Okay.
German and, expressionist.
And it is in it. It's not Dracula though.
No, and I'll tell you why it's not Dracula. Because
it's actually different, Michael. They're different vampires, okay?
No, it's literally, it's from our podcast, it's Baston. Because at the
they couldn't call it Dracula.
Because at the time, Bram Stoker's estate was still owned the...
Oh.
So they based, it's 100% Dracula. Like the same opening, he's on a ship, everybody's on the ship's dead, they bring out the thing. But they couldn't, yeah.
When you look at, the picture I'm thinking of in my head when I think of Nosferatu.
Yeah, he doesn't look, he's not a suave Dracula.
He looks like Uncle Fester.
He's a fucked up little monster guy.
Yeah, he looks like he's on a bunch of Nangs.
Yeah.
Have you done Nangs recently, Tom?
No, not recently. It's actually been a fair while. I should probably. I feel like you got to refresh it sometimes.
I've never Nanged.
Really?
Yeah. And I feel like I may have missed that boat.
No, you can do a Nang.
Should we do some Nangs in Melbourne? Should we do a Nang or two in Melbourne?
I think the reason you missed that boat is because now we're adults and have adult money. We can just buy actual drugs.
Yeah.
Sure, that's true. What about, can I Nang on stage at our live show? Will the police come?
I think the fact that you haven't done it before and you're quite accomplished is like, it's fine and it's like, you got shit. But if it was just like, oh, that's the guy that does Nangs on the podcast, then it's like, yeah, no.
No, I'll give you some Nangs. You can do some Nangs in Melbourne. If you come to the Melbourne show, you can watch Ben do a Nang.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's legal. I don't want to go to jail.
How about this? Let's just say that Ben and I will do a juggling routine together.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Wink. So do you think with this, have you ever wanted to win a car race, either of you? I've never raced a car. Have you ever done a car race? It seems quite dangerous.
Yeah. Let's start from first principles. Are any of us into cars?
No, I'm not.
No, but I do like driving. I enjoy driving.
Yeah, but that's very... You like driving your little Mercedes around.
Mm. Well, it's my mum's car, certainly. Sure. I like... Yeah, I like... No, but I enjoy the act of being on the road. Sometimes I'll just go for a drive to... Like, I'll go on an errand and I'll drive just as an enjoyable
just
thing
to
destroy do.
Destroy the planet, yeah.
Well, no, it's a yes, because I... God, this is...
No, I'm similar. I enjoy a drive. And because my parents live a bit far away, I spend a fair bit of time on the road.
Mm.
But I've never wanted to go fast, particularly.
Have you ever been on those unrestricted roads in the outback and whatnot?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever cracked over 100 on them, though. Like...
Yeah.
Is that like an Australian autobahn?
Yeah, sort of, but it's sort of the Australian version of an autobahn. Oh. So in Germany, the reason they have autobahns, my understanding is that they it's because the roads are quite well maintained.
Well, sorry, to take one step back, the reason they have the autobahn is the mad dictator of the Third Reich, Adolf Hitler.
Oh, yes. So I guess we do have someone to thank for the autobahn.
So, but it's like the idea is like the roads are so good, you can go as fast
it's
as you
a
want.
Bit of a brag, isn't it?
Yeah. Whereas in Australia, it's more like. There's no one else all around. Just go. Just do whatever you want.
It's because there's no one else around, and also because policing it's quite difficult.
I mean, how are you gonna, are you gonna police people?
But I don't think I've never gotten joy out of. So no, I don't want to. I don't want to pay this man to lose. I want to pay this man to follow his dreams. You know what I mean? I want to pay this man to be the best bloody driver he can be.
$250 for a video where he shit talks you and then loses, and then he loses a race, and then afterwards he apologizes. That's a fun
day
out.
That is quite funny.
I mean, a feeling you could ask him to do, say, specific stuff as well, because it is like an act, so he's going to be open to, like,
you have
notes.
To be like, he can be like, I will win this race, or I am a huge pedophile.
Yeah, $25 is worth putting himself on a registration.
The only thing that would make me... lose this race if I got distracted by sexual thoughts about children.
I'm just thinking more that, like, you could be like, I want you to, hey, so, like, let's do a little role play. Like, you're the guy, and I'm like, hey, I want you to lose that race for me.
Okay.
And on the video, I want you to talk about how I'm a big boy.
What?
How I'm like, are you going to beat me, my big boy bum?
So, I thought this, I actually thought this would be more about, your car.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe the insults would be more around like
he's gonna beat your big boy bump.
Yes. Ideals of masculinity.
Okay, yeah, sure. So say like, oh, you, I'm gonna beat you in this race, and
that's
I'm
because you like the race. So this is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
I'm just Tom's management in this.
Okay, cool. Guys, can I just pause this for a second? Because I think I think the issue we're coming to here is that we're moving away from the sort of car race aspect of our negotiation.
The core business.
And that's really what I'm offering here. What I'm offering to you guys is I will let you win a race. Now,
that's a $250, and so we're so happy to pay that, and you can lose the race however you want.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you hear Tom, but the $25, our understanding was that video is sort of...
I thought I'd just be able to choose the insults.
Okay,
I've got some ideas of insults I could give you if you'd like.
Sure.
I was going to call you a magical red nut. Is that...
that's so all right. That's so good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to pay this man $250 to do anything other than, like I say, just race your car, be safe, don't do it in a residential area.
Speaking of just to close this out.
Sure.
I recently got in. I mean, now I'm in the midst of being in a financial negotiation with someone of around that amount of money.
So, very good. Redacted.
So, I mean, like, I know you're not buying a brick of heroin. It really sounds like you're buying a brick of heroin.
Every time you say money, can you say monies, please?
Monies. A man recently got in contact with me on the Instagram app, right? Mm-hmm. And his name is Hing Powers.
Right. Excuse me?
His name is Hing Powers, right?
Okay.
He DM'd me. He said, hi. I said, hi back. He writes, it's nice to meet you. I can't believe we share the same name. Hing. And I said, yes, it's pretty cool. Where are you from? I'm from Australia. And he said, I'm from Uganda.
How do you have time to do this?
What do you mean?
Like, you're so, like, how do you, like, why isn't this just immediately block? Like,
because, I don't know. Anyway, it turns out.
He's from Uganda.
He's from Uganda. When he was 11 years old, he had a dream. In that dream. A man told him to change his name to Hing.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And he was like, all right, dream person, I'll do it.
Okay.
Right? So he changed his name to Hing, and he's been searching the internet looking for other Hings.
His first name is Hing.
His first name is Hing.
Last name Powers.
Powers. In Uganda. Yes. Yes. And he's now a 19-year-old musician in Uganda, right?
Okay.
And he's found me, and he's excited that he's met someone else whose name's Hing.
Does he know that you are like?
You don't think he did.
I don't think he did
because eventually he said, "Why do you have a blue tick on Instagram?" And I said, "I work in radio." And he goes, and he like lost his freaking mind at that point.
I bet he did. Yeah, Wood Powers would have.
But basically, I'm not saying he wants me to be his manager and agent, but
does he only associate and employ people who are also named Hing?
Well, basically, he sent me some of his songs. He does like sort of Afrobeat. What he describes as Afrobeat music.
I don't want to be like you already are the manager.
I don't want to be the one being like that's Afrobeat music because it doesn't feel like it's my place to say. Sure. I don't want to be, but that's what he says he does.
It would be wild if he like called it that and was like, yeah, it's Afrobeat, and then it was just like Irish folk.
Yeah.
So he's asked me for now. This is where he's asked me for $300.
Oh my! What you
for?
Like, how many followers? Oh my god! No, someone's. What's his name? Hing Powers official.
Hing Powers official.
He's asked you for $300.
That's great.
$300. Sorry, his username is at I am Hing Powers official.
How many followers does he have?
He's got about 1,000 followers.
Okay.
He
what does he want $300 for?
He wants $300. For his time in a recording studio, which I think I'm just going to give him because I think that's a fun
idea. You are being scammed. This is a scam. This well, is really,
this is literally the Nigerian prince, but like you get Ugandan Hing.
But here's the thing. Do you think I could maybe say to him, would you, if I sent you some lyrics, would you make a song for me and I'll pay you for the time in the recording studio, and what you give me is that song, and then the rest of the time you can do whatever you want with.
What do you want him to record?
Well, just some lyrics I write. I don't know.
Are they going to be humiliating lyrics, Michael?
Not maybe for me, but not for him, certainly. I'm okay. Not going to be like, I'm not going to make him humiliate himself.
Okay, okay.
Because you got to understand, Ben.
This guy's Irish folk is great.
I'm coming to, I'm not cynical about this man. I'm coming to this from the position of, I really like this guy because his name is also Hing.
Okay.
You're pretty easy, aren't you?
Yeah. And he changed his name to my name, well, my last name. Because he was told it in a dream. Maybe I was the man in the dream, time traveling. Who knows?
Yeah.
You don't know. You know.
You're right in that we can't know for sure. But
he was also baffled by the idea that I was Chinese and living in Australia, which was fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was like, what? Yeah. So anyway, I think I'm going to... I don't know where this is going to go.
I think I'm going to
write a song, give him
$300. I'm telling you what's going to happen here. Uh-huh. You're going to end up somehow... like trying to get a reformer off this guy. Like you are being
a Pilates reformer.
Yeah, you are being scammed.
Well, I bet it's $300, you know. I've recently sold quite a lot of drink bottles, so I'm getting flush with cash.
Why don't you send him a drink bottle as well?
I think he wouldn't find that funny.
No.
Sure.
There was one point where he asked what religion I was, uh-huh. And I had to be like, in Australia, religion perhaps isn't as important as it is in Uganda. I just don't know. I'm very ignorant. I don't know. And then he was like, okay, we don't have to talk about it, but you'll have to tell me eventually. And I was like, okay, cool.
Did he tell you what religion he was?
Yes. He said he was a mix of religions.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Like Baha'i.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Sure. Anyway, so stay tuned because I think I'm going to get scammed out of a lot of money.
Why don't you say you're his, like for that $300, take the title of management.
Yeah.
Why not? Just
exclusive representation in Australia.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one because then you don't have any responsibilities unless he comes here. But then you need to take him to all the churches. Yeah. You'd have to hit up like 5 churches on a Sunday, which is a bit tough. Yeah.
Mm, this is a great idea. All right. Stay tuned for that.
Tom, it's been just such a pleasure having you here. And thank you for having us in your gorgeous, beautiful house on this rainy El Nina day.
It is.
La Nina?
La Nina.
La Nina. That's crazy.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
It's been a joy to have you. And if you're going to be in Melbourne, me, Hing, and Tom are going to be down there.
Yes.
Tom, are you doing anything other than Dragon Prince?
No, I'm just going to be doing that. I'll come and heckle you guys at your show, certainly.
Yes.
There are no tickets left for Dragon Friends, unfortunately.
No, there's a couple left. There'll be some left for Freedom of a Good Home. But it's filling up pretty quick.
Yeah,
so find it on the Facebook page. There is now a ticket link there. And you can come hang out with us there.
All right, well, until next time.
Bye. If you like pina coladas, get caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga,
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.